Jamaica's own Monty Alexander on piano with Running Away. This is from his 1999 release, Stir It Up. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about, remember in class in high school, you'd get an essay or something like that, and you have to compare and contrast. It used to really grind my gears. Compare and contrast. And that's what we're going to do today, as a matter of fact. We're going to do some comparing and contrasting. And we'll be comparing and contrasting the differences in which we see, well, we see two very prominent cases being treated. A Pennsylvania judge today will decide the fate of entertainment mogul and philanthropist Bill Cosby, who was convicted in 2004 of three counts of aggravated indecent assault. Whatever the sentence, and I still don't know what it is, Justice Stephen O'Neill decides, Cosby's lawyers no doubt will appeal, looking for a more amenable, in their eyes, a more amenable sentence. Meanwhile, a different legal drama is playing itself out in Washington, D.C., as hearings are being held for Brett Kavanaugh, President Donald Trump's nominee to replace retired Associate Justice Antonin Scalia. Anthony Kennedy, on the U.S. Supreme Court. Kavanaugh, a Court of Appeals judge in Washington, D.C., is being hounded by claims from his college years that he sexually assaulted several women, including one who is demanding to testify against him in the current hearings. So, we'll talk today about the remarkable differences in the ways that the charges against Cosby and those against Kavanaugh have been and are being handled. And this is where you come in. You see, we talk all the time in a kind of theoretical way, and people poo-poo the idea when you say there are two systems of justice, one white, one black, and separate and unequal. And here we have two different cases with two different sets of interests attached to them, and therefore they get two entirely different treatments from the so-called system. In the case of Cosby, you will tell us what you think. What was the motive in the prosecution of Cosby, you think? Not in the case, not in the sense of the case being relitigated. We're not going to relitigate the case, but there are certain benchmarks in this case, in the Cosby case, that are very important, that speak to the historic relationship between the criminal justice system and people of color, no matter how wealthy they are. And on the flip side of the coin, we have someone being considered for the U.S. Supreme Court. He is being championed by the president. Both of them have some very interesting records of sexual misconduct with women. But we see an entirely different attitude here. Because the intention is, come hell or high water, Kavanaugh has got to get that seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. The Kavanaugh hearings are being held at a federal level. Cosby's case was held, you could say, at a state level. And I've said to you many times, you have to watch out for what happens to people of color at the state level. That's where the slaughter is. There is no real agitation occurring for people of color in this country at the Supreme Court level. There was a time when that would be of interest, and we would have national reporting on such cases, such as Brown versus Board of Ed, and so forth. These are landmark cases. But it comes down, when it comes down to a situation where a person is facing the system, you see two entirely different attitudes. In the case of Cosby, the strict rule of law didn't necessarily apply because the case, in fact, had a mission. There was a mission in this case, in that case. Similarly, we have the flip side of the coin with Kavanaugh. There is a mission to these hearings and his appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court. To the point where, of course, he gets backing from the top man who is willing to move hell and high water to make sure that his nominee gets through. There are certain things that they need to accomplish. And for that, you need a bank of support on the U.S. Supreme Court. You see how interesting this is? And you just have to sit and wait. They're not finished with Cosby yet. He's 81 years old, and they figure, well, he doesn't have much longer to go, but for the time that he has left, he will be made a legal example of. And they will put him through the paces until they get exactly what they want. What would that be, you think? In the case of Kavanaugh, he is a white man in a white man's world. He is the newest standard bearer that they have. And his position on the U.S. Supreme Court is strategically important. So they can't let anything much happen to him. He has to come through the process relatively unscathed. And whereas with Cosby, you had the overarching theme that finally we caught up with an uppity Negro, a wealthy uppity Negro, but still with lasciviousness in his eyes and in his heart, going after white women. Now, these are very important symbolisms, and we can't escape them. So we will be talking about that today. What do you perceive as the difference in treatment in the way the Cosby case has been handled And in the way that the hearings, and even the person himself, Brett Kavanaugh, is being treated as the next possible associate justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. Do you see any basis for comparison here? And if so, what would those issues be from your perspective? And what are they telling us? You see, when you talk about things like the U.S. Supreme Court and people want to drag you into a discussion about, well, what rulings have been made and the record, the legal record and all this. But here we're talking about individuals. Two individuals, a black man and a white man. The black man is way wealthier, a lot wealthier than the white man. But in the eyes of the law, he committed a crime that is not to be forgiven. It is to be punished severely. And whether they deal with this strictly in terms of the law or not, you could stick him with a fork because he's done. On the other side, you have a possible U.S. Supreme Court justice being prepped, and his seat is already dusted off, whose history with women appears to be extremely objectionable and illegal and wrong and criminal. And look at how much effort is being made to clean him up and to make him presentable as if, well, nothing happened. But look who's pushing for him, Donald Trump, a man with his own sordid sexual history, and others who have internalized the attitude that no matter what, we get what we want. We have the political apparatus to do it, to succeed at it. So we don't care what you think. We're coming through, just move aside. I'm asking for your thoughts, your considered opinions on this question today. Is this a case of two different systems of justice yielding two different results primarily based on race? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I need you to stick with the issue. Don't take us into the side streets just yet. Let's deal with the question so far as it has gone, so far as developments are, on the table, and we can look at them and we can raise questions about this. What are we looking at here? 888-874-4888. It is very useful when we deal with this because I talk about politics being about building infrastructures. Brett Kavanaugh has a great infrastructure because that infrastructure has a vision for society, for how they want this society organized. They don't care about the agency of it, who makes it happen. They care that it happens. And they're going to see to it that it happens. But the people on the other side of the fence are still stuck in this idea that the system is fair. And we should look to the system in turn to be fair, to make sound judgments, to set aside all the factors that normally mitigate these kinds of things, like race, creed, class. They say it's the law is for everyone. It is applied legally and equally to everyone. And therefore, any objections are just irrational. You're not thinking, or you're not thinking right. Here we have a blatant example of how two men in similar situations are afforded entirely different treatments under the so-called law. You're going to tell us what you think. What is the difference in their treatment under the so-called law? And what should we do about it? What should we do about this? It has very little to do with whether you believe this one or you believe that one. The facts are the facts. This is how the system responded to case A. This is what it did. And this is the result. It obtained a conviction. And now Bill Cosby, even at 81 years old, could technically spend the rest of his life in prison. The protections afforded Kavanaugh, on the other hand, are, you could say, directives from the President of the United States. This is the White House now, dictating how he ought to be treated and fighting for it. Now, you can't get more real in terms of political battle than that. And it's not like there's good reason, there's good rationale behind the decisions being made by the White House to back him. And conversely, the decisions of the White House to excoriate Bill Cosby. But here we are. Can anybody deny the stark contrast in these two cases? So we'll take this break to introduce our time, your brain cells, gather your brain cells, and come back right after this short break and proceed with the question of the day. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we hear first from Florida. Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, Latrice. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. How about you?
Great. All right. Well, I got a couple things I want to say. I never knew that all the women that were allegedly taken advantage of by Bill Cosby were white. And I don't need to know that. That, to me, is irrelevant. I don't doesn't, the skin color didn't make any difference to me. It doesn't make any difference to me. I just wanted to say that somebody filed charges against Cosby. Nobody filed charges against the judge. So that's the main difference, the way I see it, they were treated. We have a presumption of innocence and due process in this country and the rule of law. And that has to be followed. And I don't like the idea that somebody is convicted just on, accusation. And that, I'm not standing up for a judge. I don't know what he did or didn't do. I don't know if these are false or true charges. But there's no, he should be, everybody in this country should be afforded the right to afford a due process. And that's
all right. I agree with that point. Everybody should. The question is, though, does everybody get due process? And despite your claim that race does not really matter or should not matter, the Cosby case absolutely shows that it does. And it does determine the outcome in the sense of justice.
Do you think that if the women that he took advantage of, and I don't, I say that because he was convicted. I wasn't there. I know who he is. I mean, he's a comedian, but do you think that if the women were of a different color, non-white, that it would have made any difference?
Well,
I don't know.
He broke the long-standing but unspoken rule, and that is many of the women that he allegedly attacked were white women. And that goes all the way past the Civil War, goes back to the formal beginnings of this country. He certainly did not behave like a person who understood his place and understood these rules. The question, though, is this. Do you think that Cosby, as an individual, you don't think that he carried with him, as a person, he represented to the system an odious profile that they just would have to blot out in service of white supremacy? And that is, you have a wealthy black man, and I'm not saying here that he didn't do what he was charged with. I'm saying that if we are operating under the rule of law, there were many aberrations in his case. There are many aberrations, many liberties taken with his presumed freedom and presumed right to defend himself. When you have a case where you have women that basically are qualified as his adversaries simply because they stepped forward, in some cases, more than 30 years after the fact, you have to raise questions about how the law is applied here. Don't you think?
Yeah, I didn't follow it. I felt sorry for him. I find it odd that somebody comes out of the woods 30 years, as you said, later, and makes an accusation, and that in itself is an offense against society. It's like a woman refusing to testify against the person who raped her because she feels traumatized again. But if the guy if she doesn't testify against him, he's allowed to go free and do it again. So 30 years, there was a problem, it should have been addressed 30 years ago. Or that's how I deal with that. If I were on a jury, I never would have convicted somebody on that time difference between today and 30 years ago, when the alleged incident took place. If you had a problem with it, you should have addressed it 30 years ago. Is that clear the way I look at it?
No, I mean, you're explaining your point of view very well. The question is not whether you're right or wrong. The question is the seeming arbitrariness, if you will, of how the law is made to apply in different situations. Kavanaugh is, the charges against him come from high school days. And yet, there is a vigorous fight being put up to protect him.
Well, I don't know.
So you have the same kind of circumstances, but a different application and a different approach to prosecution in these two cases, which are very similar.
I didn't hear you.
I said the cases are very similar, but the application of the law is very different.
Well, as I said, nobody filed charges against this guy. So how do you suppose that they would not be different? How would you suppose that they would be the same? Because they're not. Nobody filed charges against the judge. They're just accusations. And you can't convict somebody on accusations. You have to have some kind of a proof, and maybe he did. And that's, I don't know what the proof was in Bill Cosby's case. They must have had something. I don't know, though. I didn't follow it that closely. It didn't mean that much to me. I told you I feel sorry for him, for he entertained so many people. Not me. I never really cared for him. He was on the same level as Bob Hope. It wasn't funny to me, hardly. But that's not germane to the issue. The bottom line is that there must have been some evidence. I would assume that there was some evidence for him to get a conviction. Was there? I mean,
the evidence was largely the personal recollections, and that's what formed the charges. Those were the bases of the charges. But he did not have the wherewithal to, although his lawyers did raise questions about the wholesale acceptance of the women's charges with no backup evidence. They never told anybody. They never went to the police. They never, reacted in a sense, in a way that would be confluent with the way they reacted in the court after being egged on and given encouragement by the prosecution. So it's a very different thing. But I appreciate your point of view. Thank you so much for calling and getting us started today. Bruce from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, you, Therese.
Hello.
I'm in total agreement with your argument today. You were talking about comparing and contrasting. Your last caller was saying that nobody has charged Kavanaugh with any crime, yeah? But people get convicted and sentenced to death every day in this country without even being charged. You know, we just had an accountant whose house was walked into and he was murdered in his own house. And he was arrested, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death right away. So the notion that nobody has charged Kavanaugh with anything, I mean, doesn't make complete sense, right, to me as a black man, right? As far as Bill Cosby is concerned, I mean, I really don't have any remit for him, because I never really forgive him for talking about black people, especially black men, in certain ways, you know. And he made almost a life of doing this thing, talking about people with their pants down. I mean, I don't wear my pants like that, and I don't like it. But I don't believe that it was a basis on which you should be interfering with black people. But however, you know, you're right in that if accusations were made to at Cause B for years, and nobody came forward for a long time. The same thing with Kavanaugh, right? And you're right to say that these things are treated differently. But over and beyond that, Utrecht, and before you, Gary was on, he had somebody on who he didn't really agree with there in everything this person was saying. But he had a tape of somebody who was speaking, I forgot the name of the person, who was talking about identity politics, you know? But my overarching, my master narrative is that white people have constructed a society in which race and class and gender, I mean, this is a white man's world. And now this man that Gary had on is suggesting that identity politics should not, I mean, as though all the people who suffered from these things don't have to take responsibility for it. I mean, again, I don't understand how you can construct a world where you have slavery, you have racism, you have sexism. I mean, in the African space, to me, you know, we didn't know anything about these things, you know. In fact, we lived in societies where women were, we live in matriarchal societies, right? So we are brought here, and this thing has been used to bring us down, right? And now we are supposed to take responsibility for this thing. We are supposed to take responsibility for cleaning up identity politics, cleaning up sexism, and all of these maladies that are implicit in white societies, right? And you know, and I find that only white people can talk like this and behave like this and get away with it with a straight face. I mean, what's going on here?
That's my question. What's going on here? And I think you identified a huge chunk of it. But I would ask you, beyond identifying it, what do you think is the ultimate, what do you think is a solution, if you think there is a solution?
Well, I've mastered the narrative again. You know, I mean, I don't see, you know, I go back to my same conclusion as before. You know, I don't see any way that this society can save itself. I don't see any remedies. I mean, Martin Luther King, before he died, his last prophetic speech was about, bringing black people into some white society that was collapsing, you know, something about burning house or something like that. I don't remember exactly the words, right? But I think you will recall generally. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening. I think this society is, everywhere you look, you see decadence, you see decay. I mean, and still the people who don't benefit from it, the people who are the objects of the thing, you know, some who are to have this responsibility to cure the society or find remedies for it, you know. I don't believe that it's my responsibility to find any remedies for the maladies I see around me, you know. I just don't. So when your first caller is talking things about, you know, trying to find, you know, splitting hairs about the differentials between these two things, I mean, that's how racism presents itself. You know, it has a way of giving a sense of rightness to something that is patently false, you know. And if white people in this country had the power in order to remove all of these things from the society. But no, what we tried, we did all this thing, we marched, we fought against it, all this kind of thing, but still it persists. So you have Kavanaugh now, right? A man who is really looking to maybe extend, carry supremacists to a different level with maybe a fascist government like Trump, for instance, you know? And he is there to give power to that. And you have a whole system trying to say, well, this is right, yeah? And the accusations against him mean nothing. But you have called the 81-year-old man who can be brought down, you know, because the system sees that there's a differential. There's a black man who has some money, who thinks that he can frolic with white people, right? But the system wants to quietly say to him, I mean, you know, white people, white women are special. You can't behave in this way towards white people. And the system says that to us all the time. When you look at TV, you see white images, you see people saying that white people are special, white people have this power to speak on these issues, and they can speak all the time, and there's no other conversation that is more important than the conversations that they're having. And then we're supposed to somehow think that we can fix this like man's world has gone, you know, awry.
Excellent analysis. Thank you so much for offering it for our consideration today. Thank you so much. Ali from New York, how are you?
How are you doing, Utris? I didn't want to call at all because I'd rather just listen to the show than listen to everybody. But I needed to call with the same sentiment that the gentleman had just spoke to say something about the first caller. Just because somebody's found guilty in this system, that really doesn't mean that the person is guilty. And one of those examples is the Central Park Five. Do you remember that case?
Oh, yes. In fact, we wrote the story that there were not even anywhere near Central Park.
Right.
We broke that story, yes.
Yeah, so he's giving you this argument that, and I'm not saying that Bill Cosby is not guilty. That's not what I'm saying. But his argument, and I agree with the previous caller, is about white people always looking deeper into the issue when the issue is in front of them. Just because Bill Cosby was found guilty, not necessarily means that he's guilty. And the perfect example is the Central Park Five, where Trump took an ad here in New York so they could put these kids that they were not guilty of raping this woman in Central Park. He wants the death penalty for them. And he has to defend Kavanaugh because he himself going to be fighting the same issue. And he wants his men on the court because he wants to make sure that while he's president and he runs for his second term, no one could file any lawsuit against him. Kavanaugh, for the first caller, has a friend who actually wrote a book and mentioned the things that they did in high school. So he's going to tell me, yeah, he hasn't been. And then he's talking about this woman, 15 years old, filing a case against Kavanaugh. You know how difficult and, like she said, embarrassing would have been for the 15-year-old in high school trying to go with a very powerful group that they were going to Georgetown Prep? Most of these kids in Georgetown Prep, I'm pretty sure, they come from a high level of society. So, and there is a bunch of men that I don't know, black men, that the system have made sure to let them know you have money, but you're black. O.J. Simpson, Tiger Woods, Michael Jackson, and you could go on and on and on. Am I saying that they are not guilty? That's not what I'm saying. But they make sure their system bring them down to earth and say, you are at this level, but you guys will have to remember, you're still black. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your participation today. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
I am. I'm here, Utris.
Yes.
Couple things that need to be said. I'm a black man, and obviously I know that black people have a different system of justice in this country, but it also should be said that just because you're a black man and you get convicted does not mean that you're automatically innocent. Some people that are guilty get convicted. So there's no reason to say that that Bill Cosby is innocent because he's a black man. Bill Cosby admitted to giving women drugs without their knowledge for the purpose of sex. That is a crime. He admitted to that. And that is a crime. And you spoke about it once before. You said, well, it was the 80s and drugs. Well, I was a single man in the 80s, and I never gave any women drugs for the purpose of sex without their knowledge. And I would say that I know you have, eight brothers? I bet if you asked them, they would say, no, I never did that. That's wrong. It's a crime. He admitted to a crime. And if, as far as it being 30 years ago, if any of those women were your sister or your mother or your daughter, it doesn't matter. Whether it's 30 years ago, 10 years ago, a crime was committed against them that he admits to. So I don't have any sympathy for Bill Cosby. Also, he had enough money to mount a tremendous defense. That's something that the Central Park Five didn't have.
They well, didn't he also have money he like also Bill compensated Cosby. The women, several of the women, who he recognized that he owed something to as a way of
money doesn't make it right. Money can make it go away, but I'm sorry, money doesn't make that right.
Yes, but I'm not disputing anything that you said. You're correct in all that you've said, and these are facts. Okay.
And
the question, though, being asked is, do you appreciate the dichotomy in the way the system deals with a Bill Cosby as opposed to the way the system is dealing with a Brett Kavanaugh?
I would say there's a tremendous, tremendously bigger difference between the way the system deals with those with money and those without money. Just like your previous caller said, the Central Park Five, if they had Bill Cosby's money, they wouldn't have had a problem. It's money that's a problem, and Bill Cosby wouldn't have been charged with these crimes if he was still making money for the corporations he made money for. If he was still making a tremendous amount of money for NBC and Jell-O and Coca-Cola, then there wouldn't have been any problem. Just as I believe if OJ was still running 2,000-yard seasons and making a lot of money for the NFL, he wouldn't have been charged either. The rich, successful black men are only charged after they stop making money for the white corporate system. After they start making money, okay, now you're expendable. Before, no, you can't touch them. So I believe it is money that is the difference. Not on this level, not the black and white. And just one more thing I want to remind people about Bill Cosby. Most people don't know this. Bill Cosby is responsible for buying the rights to the Little Rascals and removing it from TV because he said it was offensive to black people, the Little Rascals. Then he proceeded to put on a cartoon, the Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, where the main character was morbidly obese, where he could barely walk, and he had another character, Mushmouth, who had his hat pulled down over his face and just had big lips sticking out of a hole in the hat, and you couldn't tell what he said because his English was so bad, and they lived in a junkyard. It was incredibly offensive. And that's Bill Cosby doing that.
But
people forget.
Do you
about
think,
that.
Though, have you properly addressed the question? I mean, all these things that you're saying are fine because you know they're part of the color, pardon the pun, of the situation we're discussing. But you haven't addressed.
As far as Kavanaugh goes, if you want my comment on Kavanaugh, the fix is in that he's going to be a Supreme Court justice. And there's nothing that's going to change that. We've seen this before with the Anita Hill situation. And I imagine if Anita Hill had been white, then we would have had a problem and we wouldn't have that justice. But Anita Hill was black, so will go through the motions, but it's not a problem. She was black. And I don't think that anything is keeping Kavanaugh off the bench. He's going to get there. He's going to be a Supreme Court justice. And it really doesn't matter because the Supreme Court is never, ever going to side on the side of the masses and certainly not on the side of black people, no matter who's sitting on it. So he's going to get confirmed, and it doesn't matter.
All right. Thank you so much for your analysis. From Rosedale, Jose, you're on the air.
He's my professor.
Hello. Now,
you know, if Mr. Cosby did the things that he's accused of doing, then I guess he'd have to suffer the consequences. And Mr. Cosby spent a great deal of his time ingratiating himself to white folks. And in the long run, it didn't help him. What would have happened if these women who accused him of these acts of sexual abuse here, if they were all black women, Mr. Cosby would have been in a great position today. It probably might not even have reached the level of where it is today in the court, right? And so Mr. Cosby, he must understand that as a black man in this country, you have to be very careful in how you tread, how you trod through this system. This system here, as I tell people all the time, don't get shocked and upset and all worked up about what happens in this society, in this country here. We have lived in this place too long to not study.
I don't really mean to interrupt, but mm-hmm. I want you to get back to the core of the question. Mm-hmm. What do you appreciate as the differences in the treatment between Bill Cosby and Brett Kavanaugh? What accounts for the difference in treatment?
My professor, there is no one in their right mind that don't understand how racism works in this country. There is two systems of justice in this place. Brett Kavanaugh, he's subjected to the white privileges, white benefits that Mr. Cosby would not receive, because we're living in a system that there's two worlds. We're living in two worlds. And everybody in a right mind can see that. So we are belaboring something that Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder can right now look at it and see it. So this man is going to, as your last caller said, Mr. Kavanaugh is going to get the position because the system, the people who runs this racist imperialist system wants this man in there, and he's going to get it. Now, if he was accused of doing this thing to a black woman, then again, you would see that it would not have reached where it is. But we have created a system here that most of us don't want to understand, don't want to see for the centuries of us being here, how the system is set up against us as a people. And we can talk about the injustice of it all we want to. How we change it, I don't know. People are asking the little people all the time, how do you go, how will you change the system, what do you recommend? We don't really matter in the scheme of things. If the people who has the power to change the system, the intellectuals, the folks with the big money, the folks in the political power, they have the means to change the system, and they don't intend to change it because it was designed to do exactly what it is doing. We are the little peons. We are the ones that people are asking us the questions all the time. How we change? How do we change what? This whole system here has to be revamped. It has to be destroyed. It has to be turned on its heels. And a new system comes up in its place. But it is, other than that, It is doing fine. It is doing just what the founding fathers, the white folks, I'm talking the original founding fathers, the indigenous people, the white folks founding fathers, they have set up this system to go on in perpetuity and to control. I hear people talk all the time about at a certain stage down the road, the majority of the people are going to be people of color. Poppycockery. If one white individual remains in this country, we are going to be living under white supremacy because the system is created to self-perpetuate. It's going to continue on forever because I don't see anyone with the courage to turn the sea over. It's a revolution that brought about, kicked the British out and have these other European people running things. And short of a revolution, I don't see we're going to be talking, your show and other people's show is going to be talking about these injustices from now until the Lord comes back or whoever it is that comes back. But it's not going to change because this is the way they want it to operate.
All right. Well, thank you so much. A very forceful opinion. Thank you very much for contributing today. E from Edgewater, you will be our last caller today. You're on the air.
Thank you, Eustrice. Hope you're feeling well today.
Yeah, thank you.
I think we're leaving out a big detail here. It was what Bill Cosby would have probably been fine and lived out the rest of his life just fine if it wasn't for the fact that he was trying to buy the network NBC. Once he tried to do that, then all these women came out, and they had like 50 women, and he was being honest. He admitted to some of them because that's the way things were done back when he was doing those things, and he wasn't the only one who was doing it. I'm sure a lot of actors, a lot of well-known people were doing the same thing with that drug because they didn't want to marry the woman. They just want to have sex. So that was the way they were told, it works for me here. You try it, and it works. Okay. But if it wasn't for the fact that he wanted to get NBC, they probably wouldn't have bothered him. Same thing with Prince and Michael Jackson. They wanted their music.
Do you think that the subject we're talking about, comparing and contrasting the responses of the system to Cosby as opposed to Kavanaugh, what do you see?
I wouldn't compare both things because they're two different things. Because it's show business. You're a product. If you become famous because you put out a great record album and you are a great musician or you're a great actor, the system wants you. They're going to promote you and you're going to be part of their property. You become a product. They're going to make you or break you. So once he started going against the system and wanted to buy, I think, by the network, then he was going against the system and he wasn't obeying their orders. So that's why it all came down on him. And that's why he's in this position. With the judge, they're just trying to hold things up till this mid-election thing comes. So they're bringing these women out, like, accusing this judge of this and that back in high school and college. And I don't think it's really the same thing because, I don't know, it just seems that there's definitely a racist underlying thing going on here. I wouldn't deny that, of course. It happened with Prince and Michael Jackson, now Bill Cosby, because they all got too big for themselves. And instead of just, look, Charlie Rose got accused, he ran away. It's over. He's not going to get accused anymore. But Bill Cosby was treated unfairly because he did pay the women off that accused him, and that should have been the end of it. It was a settlement, and that's it. They're not supposed to continue on after he settled with it. This judge thing is a totally different thing, but I can understand why you're comparing it. Well, that's the way I see it. There's a little different things here. And the last caller, not Jose, the guy before, he said he never gave anybody a date rape drug. Well, he's not Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby was a famous actor, comedian, who had lots of money and lots of women, white women, black women, all flocking to him, lining up at the door, wanting to be his wife. And he don't want to marry nobody at that time, but he wouldn't mind having a little fun with them. So that's the way they did things.
It should also be said that at that time in Hollywood, he was in the middle of a white world. His best friend and running buddy was Robert Culp, who has died. But the question is, this was a part of the universe that operated from in a different way from the rest of the society. They did whatever they wanted to do. They broke the laws routinely. And this was the way they lived. So, in a sense, you can say that he patterned his behavior after the Hollywood, which i.e. white Hollywood societies, and
exactly.
He got caught.
Exactly, that's my point. They try to get stuff on you when you're just coming up, and they see that you're going to have a great future. So they got to get dirt on you, so that later on they can use it against you if you try to buck the system and do what they don't want you to do. If you're not being obedient, then all the dirt comes out that they got on you when you were younger and not so smart and signed contracts that you didn't really study and you didn't have anybody helping you out. That's how they get everybody. They did it to the Clintons. They do it to all the actors that are able. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and they shouldn't be bothering Cosby. He should be allowed to live his life out without any.
Well, we have to leave it there, and I thank you all for your very thoughtful contributions and your opinions today. So we'll meet up again tomorrow, and thanks for listening and participating. Bye-bye. ¶¶